on the phone with us right now, Buck Henry. Hi, Buck.
Hi there.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, and congratulations to Mr. Weaver for his free album.
Boy, yeah, he's somebody.
He's for now.
Buck, what was so all-consuming and important that you couldn't come on the show at the scheduled time?
Pure feeble-mindedness, forgetfulness, laziness, and confusion.
All right, well, that I can accept. That I can accept.
Fair enough. That happens to us all the time. Before we talk about the past...
Because, Buck, quite frankly, usually our 630 listeners, we usually stiff them and just put on a lot of schlock. Now they're getting a quality interview, thanks to you.
Kind of schlock.
Yeah. What about these two movies that I see? I pulled your movie history. You got two movies out for 97.
I do.
It says, and maybe they were done, maybe they're just now being released. It says, for 1997, Buck Henry in the movies The Real Blonde and Later Life.
I have no idea what Later Life is, although I don't deny I'm in it. I just, but then...
A.K.A. Curtain Call.
Oh, Curtain Call.
Yeah.
Well, Curtain Call is an interesting little comedy with Michael Caine, one of your local restaurateurs, and Maggie Smith and James Spader and a lot of other people.
Sam Shepard's in it, Valerie Perrine.
Right.
Now, you didn't have to kiss Michael Caine in that, because Christopher Reeve did, and look what happened to him.
What did happen to him?
Yeah, that horse riding accident got paralyzed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When did he kiss him?
It was in Death Trap.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, don't kiss him.
I would have kissed Michael Caine if he'd asked me to.
He seems like he'd have very pungent breath.
Food.
But the breath looks like it'd be very pungent.
Oh, I don't think so.
So he had good breath?
Well, I can't go that far. And I wouldn't tell you if I knew.
So Later Life, it's coming out now, I guess, is it? Or has it been out?
Later Life. No, it hasn't been out, and I have not read anything about it, so I have no idea when it's scheduled. I would be surprised if it came out this year, because over 8,000 films, as you know, American films, are being distributed in the month of December.
Is that ridiculous or what?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but it seems to be, supply and demand. The audience seems to demand a lot of films at Christmas.
Yeah, and what do you know about this now, this other one here that says 1997 on it, The Real Blonde?
Real Blonde is a really interesting, strange comedy by Tom DiCillo, who's a young filmmaker that anybody who follows independent films knows well.
Well, what a cast. Look at the people in that movie. Matthew Modine, Daryl Hannah, Elizabeth Berkley, Marlo Thomas, yourself, Christopher Lloyd, Kathleen Turner, Dennis Leary.
I didn't even know half of them were in it.
What? How do you go about doing this movie? They just call you up, tell you to play the role, and then you go home?
Yeah, sometimes I don't even go there. I just stay home and do it.
Tell me about To Die For, which my partner Haney just loves that movie, loved Nicole Kidman in that movie.
It's a very sensible thing to do. Any guy who didn't love Nicole Kidman.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was telling Stan, I would have offed the husband in a heartbeat. No problem.
I tried to, but he's tough.
No, he's not.
I did everything I could. I flew with him. I went to hockey games with him, hoping he'd be hit by a puck. All that stuff.
He's very hardy. He's got a Napoleon complex.
Yeah, well, I'd protect those legs with all my life if I could.
Settle the thing we were talking earlier. I mean, so many times on Saturday Night Live, especially in the earlier years, nobody, I think, with the exception of Steve Martin, hosted it more than you.
I think I hold the record for the most in the fewest amount of years, because I did it all in the first five.
We were saying that it seemed like if they did 20 shows a year, you'd host 10 of them.
Yeah, when they repeat them, there are 100 repeated shows from the first 5 years, and I'm in 10 or 12 of them, so it looks like I'm in more than I am.
Yeah, but what kind of tie-in did you have with Lorne Michaels? What, are you good buddies with him and he got you on the show a lot, or what?
He owed me a lot of money and I had some photographs.
True or false, you actually were bloodied during a samurai skit with Belushi.
He put a hole in my head. It was very exciting, actually, but my only concern was that my mother might be watching and thought I'd been killed, although there was a three-hour lag to the West Coast, so I knew I could call her and say I'm okay.
Well, what happened?
I got too near to Belushi's sword. It was my fault. I just took one half a step more than I should have, and, you know, we never really rehearsed it in detail, so I took a real whack. Then I jumped out the window, which tore my leg up. Then I got a little suspicious because there was a two-minute commercial break, and I heard somebody saying, it's okay, Belushi's doctor is in the house. And John is ready to do your lines in the next sketch if you want him to. I thought, uh-oh, I've been set up. But the great thing about that show was in the next sketch, which I did, some doctor, I guess it was Belushi's doctor, came down and patched me up. The next sketch, which was with Chevy, Chevy was ready for it. No, actually, it wasn't when he was doing the news. He put a huge bandage on his head. And then Jane had her arm in a splint. And then the guys on the crew started getting out crutches and stuff. So by the end of the show, it looked like Bataan Death March. Everyone was wounded, limping. It was hilarious.
No, sometimes you got to play hurt, Buck.
Yeah.
Do you have an opinion on this new Saturday Night Live?
I haven't seen it.
I don't think many people have.
Oh, I think a lot of people have. I think it's an American habit.
I've broken myself of that habit. It used to be a habit with me. You had to watch it. You had to tape it. You had to see what was going on. And I just think it has gone so far downhill.
Well, I sort of quit watching it when I wasn't on it. For sheer ego.
Well, like Chris Rock.
I don't like to watch anything more than a few years.
Well, like Chris Rock says, I never miss an episode of the Chris Rock Show.
Exactly.
So you really don't have an opinion one way or the other. Have they asked you to host?
I have been asked to host a couple of times, and I think they've given up doing that. The last show I did, I said goodbye because it was a kind of a walkout show. Lorne was quitting. We were good friends, and there was a certain amount of, I don't know, whether it was bad blood or just ill humor between the network and him, and I sided with him out of general friendship. And the front cast was quitting. So we all took a walk and turned the lights off and left the studio. It was a sort of dramatic and a little bit of sanctimonious ending. But I always think if you say goodbye, you kind of should mean it.
None of this come back, like rock stars like to do that. Their farewell tour. And
yeah,
then they'll
very
come back.
Tempting because I loved doing the show. But you know, life goes on in other areas.
Well, you said it's an institution. Do you think that that they'll stick with it until it bounces back?
I think it can go on forever.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's like the news.
But then you got to wait for those special talents to come along that will go and light it up again. I mean, it seems like every few years there'll be that one special. They don't call them that anymore, but not ready for primetime player that will, you know.
They call them get on for a season and then make some crap movies.
Sure. Well, there's still five movies a year being made from guys who graduate from the show that I've never seen before.
See, that's when I start to feel old is whenever there's a film coming out and stars of Saturday Night Live, I don't know who the hell they are.
Well, I don't either because I don't watch it. So, but I hear people talking about them as though they are personal favorites. So I assume there are entertainers that are making their mark afresh. I mean, you know, and every now and then we tend to write people off as fast as we can, like Eddie Murphy got written off. But anybody who has lived through The Nutty Professor and not laughed until they fell on the floor at the dinner party scene doesn't know what comedy's about.
That is the funniest scenes.
But that's the funny thing about Eddie Murphy, and you watch, you know, Beverly Hills Cop, it was huge, 48 Hours, it was huge, but it wasn't really what he does best. Mm-hmm. It's like you're talking about The Nutty Professor stuff when he gets into the characters.
He's unbelievable in it.
So if he can get a little more of that, it'll be all right.
Yeah, and I assume there are others, maybe not quite as talented as Eddie, but there are others who will make a mark somewhere along the line if they get material that is conducive to them doing their best.
How, and this is a question that's been plaguing my mind because I'm glad I have you on. How well do you know Bill Dana?
I haven't seen Bill Dana in a number of years, but I knew him very well.
He was on, and it was just the worst interview, I think, that was ever on this radio station. And
you could call it a lot of things. Lucid would not be one of them.
Yeah, and he was on, and we were talking about Get Smart and the nude bomb. And he just went off probably for about 10 minutes, incoherently, mind you, that had it been written the way he wanted it written, it would have been a hit.
You know something? I didn't know Bill was connected to the nude bomb.
Oh, he was. He claimed he had the original draft of the whole thing.
Of the movie?
Yep.
Well, I never saw it, and I'm not, I don't like making movies out of TV shows.
Well, it's popular now.
So I didn't have much. Oh, boy, is it ever. Yeah, well, the studios own the rights, so they don't have to pay anymore.
And plus the fact you got the built-in recognition.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to take any risks.
Yeah.
You know, the Addams Family comes out, you don't really have to guess what's this about.
Yeah, in which case, of course, the Addams Family movies were pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But they had really talented people working on them.
What's it like to be at the Academy Awards and not hear your name?
I only did it once, and I was only there 5 minutes before I decided I would never do it again.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nothing about it, for me, there's nothing about it that's not unpleasant. Going there at 4 or 5 on a hot afternoon, dressed in a tuxedo, is my idea of hell. Walking through thousands of screaming strangers with a lot of cameras. It's inconceivably uncomfortable. Sitting there is unpleasant. And to be there, you know, at home, you get to stand up during the commercials or during their grotesque musical numbers and walk out of the room, call a friend, or have sex. But when you can't do any of those things when you're there.
And plus, at home, you don't run the risk of the camera panning over and catching you picking your nose.
Or without your pants.
Yeah. Exactly. And then what? The parties afterwards you got to go to, right?
There are endless parties afterwards. The hip people, of course, don't go to the governor's ball. They go to various A-list parties. It's much more fun to watch at home.
Who's funny out there now? Who do you like?
I don't know how to answer that.
Is there anybody? Well, you made reference to Eddie Murphy and the Nutty Professor and sitting through that scene.
No, I'm thinking about what, you know, do you watch TV?
Oh, yeah, but I don't watch much entertainment TV. I watch news, sports, and PBS.
PBS.
Like all of us pretend to do.
Yeah.
A lot of the Discovery Channel.
I'll tell you what I think is really good, but then I'm in the business. It's Gary Shandling's show.
Oh, without a doubt.
Which is far and away miles ahead of everybody else in the comedy business and television.
Are you one of these guys that think Seinfeld's worn out?
I don't know it. I know this is usually a phony answer, but I don't watch half-hour comedies at all. I can't stand the laugh track. I don't like the commercial interruptions. And to me, it's a form that if I understood and liked the form, I'd write for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's incredibly lucrative. But I don't get it. I don't get little plays. Little playlists.
Oh, by the time the commercials are in there, what are they like, 14 minutes?
I know they're talented people who do it. Yeah. I just don't know it.
Have you ever thought and sat at the typewriter and said, it's been a long time now, and said, maybe make a sequel to The Graduate?
I am dead set against it.
Because, you know, could call something like, you know, The Retirement and have, you know, and have where he is today.
Yeah,
a joke I've already made in a movie. I already did this. I pitched the sequel to The Graduate in The Player. I meant it as a parody of writers' bum ideas.
You think that would be a bum idea?
I just think it's a bum idea on its face.
Because I was thinking about this, because they just ran it on television over the weekend, and watching the scene as they're going off on the bus to start their lives, and the families are there at the wedding yelling and screaming. Dustin Hoffman, I mean, his career took off from that. It's been a long time since that movie came out. And I'm willing to bet that if there was a decent screenplay written for that thing, Hoffman would be interested in it.
I know he'd be interested. We've talked about it. I'm against it on principle. I know that the three main actors are alive and well and working. Actually,
you could make a ton of money from that. You could make a bundle.
Yeah, I know. But what's the point? The upside is only money, and the downside is you trifled with something that you probably did as good as you could do, and there's no way to... I just don't think there's any way to match something that you really liked. But I feel that way about everything I've done, good or bad. I don't want to do it again.
Agree or disagree? Frank Sinatra's version of Mrs. Robinson is far superior to Simon and Garfunkel.
I've never heard it.
Oh,
what I do like
is... You got to hear it.
I do like the raspberries, the strawberries, the lingonberries. What are they called?
Dingleberries.
There's that that rock group with that guy who's a really good singer who did a version of it. That's very, very nice.
I don't know. Frank Sinatra's version, though, was much more respectful because instead of saying Jesus loves you more than you will know, he says Jilly loves you more than you'll know.
Yeah, well, when you've got Jilly loving you, keep your back to the wall.
Well, tell me, what did you learn by those early years on the Steve Allen Show?
The early years were actually about 4 months because the show folded after 15 shows. But I learned something about the procedure of writing that kind of comedy because I was partnered with a great, great comedy writer named Stan Burns, who was that kind of... There's a genre comedy writer who, if you point in one direction, makes a joke out of what you're pointing at. And it's immediate and it's funny. It's an enormous gift, which you either have or you don't. You can't develop it. But mm-hmm. you can learn something about how it's done and what makes it work. I'd always wanted to write for Steve Allen, and it was the first show I did in television. So I was, you know, sort of thrilled to be able to do it. And it was fun performing on it with those guys. They were a great group.
I wrote a couple of things for Steve.
Yeah?
He just doesn't know it. I mean, he was involved, but he didn't know it was a joke.
Long story.
Next time.
next time. We had him on one time, and my partner Haney played a character, and Steve thought he was talking to the actual character and not...
You want to know what a nice guy Steve Allen is?
Yeah.
He actually apologized for not being on a show on the Dumont Network in like 1940, something that never existed. Very gracious man.
No, those guys, with some exceptions, have very good manners.
He seemed like just a wonderful man.
Steve was is an incredibly interesting guy.
And one hell of a roast master.
He's a terrific roast master. I mean, he's eclectic beyond belief. He does 90 things. But I found in my television career that I worked with an endless number of really nice people with lesser or greater degrees of talent. I mean, one of the nicest guys I ever met in my life was Gary Moore, whom I worked for 2 years.
The talk show guy to tell the truth, Gary Moore?
He started to tell the truth, but for years and years he had comedy variety shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Carol Burnett was on it.
Carol Burnett got her fame there.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked with a guy named Durward Kirby, whom I hope is still alive.
I think he lives around in this area.
He owned a bunch of banks in Florida.
I think he lives around here.
A really, really nice guy.
And, Gary Moore passed away, about 5 or 6 years ago?
Yep.
And it was really sad. I think he was on the Today Show shortly before he died. He was in a lot of pain.
Oh, that's sad. Well, I hope he had a good life because he was a good man.
What's in the future for you now? What's coming up?
The usual stuff. I just finished a screenplay, and I'm going to work on another. And I may come down to Florida where this screenplay would be shot if it were made and spend some time.
So hopefully we'll see more things coming out in the next few years.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever sit down and when you're a comedy writer and you got need to write comedy, I mean, do you sit down and do you start with a funny thought or do you have to go and write and try to write funny and create something?
I never think of them as comedies.
It never comes to your mind?
No.
When you're writing?
I don't ever write toward a funny idea.
So what do you do when you get in front of the typewriter? Well, I say, I guess it's a computer now. Suffer.
And if you say typewriter one more time, I'm going to come across that console and kick the living crap
typewriter.
Out.
Like typewriters still exist.
Yeah, I know. It's all computer
it's
now.
It's not only that, but he's saying typewriter.
Typewriter.
Well,
typewriter.
Maybe it's in the OED, it's another pronunciation.
Buck, thanks for coming on.
Anytime.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, guys.